Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The weather is changing, turning a bit cooler now, and there's nothing like curling up with a good book. Now, we have a book that may be just for you. WHUR announcer and now author Ulysses Stretch Garrett has penned a novel about love and radio. He's joining me to talk about Last Request and the issues behind it. We want to hear from you tonight, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Stretch, thank you so much. You're on the other side of the mic tonight.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight.
Congratulations to you. You know, you're the one who is usually entertaining our listeners on the weekends, really getting people hyped up for the weekend. But now we want to talk about getting hyped up for this novel, Last Request. Give me the Cliff Notes version of this.
So basically it's about a radio personality in Baltimore. His name is Mason Blake Jr., who hosts a nightly love show called The Last Supreme. And it deals with a lot of his relationships that have evolved throughout his life, whether it be from his family, his friends, also to the young lady that he is now dating. And one relationship that he's been avoiding for a long time suddenly reappears when everything is going very, very good for him.
Mm-hmm. Why did you write this?
That's a good question. It started about 13 years ago, to be honest with you. I was working at another station in Baltimore at the time, and I was hosting a love sort of show. And
just a love show?
Like a love show. But I was, it always made me feel sort of awkward in the sense that, why am I hosting a show where I really couldn't really relate to anything based off of that due to the, I was very young. But I learned a lot from listening to other people's do's and don'ts when it comes to relationships and things of that nature. So that sparked something in me that's like, oh, this actually would make a good story. But I had to live a little bit. It took me 13 years to write the book.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the thing. Not to mention you, of course, have a career,
right,
that often can get in the way, and life often gets in the way as well. Is this book autobiographical? Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Yeah, tell the truth, shame the devil. It's loosely based off of some of my experiences throughout my years, but maybe like one or two things.
But the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yes, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Plus also like...
And the guilty.
And the guilty. You know. I'll say this. I mean, you know how it is of what we do, man. We see a lot, hear a lot, and I experienced so many different stories from other people that I was like, well, this can't be real. But it was like real. So I was like, oh, I just remembered it and took some notes, and then I added that creative aspect to it because it is fiction. I want people to know it is fiction. And it's a good piece, man. It's definitely something that you would thoroughly enjoy on a night like tonight while the weather's nice and chilly.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to WHUR's own Stretch, DJ, radio personality, about his new novel, Last Request. If you have a comment, if you have a question about the Last Request novel, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so I have to ask you, am I in this book?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Part two.
Nah, maybe not.
Part two, brother.
maybe not. Is there an underlying theme for this book?
The underlying theme is more so coming from a male perspective. I think a lot of times, you know, when you read romance novels, you never really get it from a male's perspective. It's always from the female perspective. And this book is written by me, of course, a man. And the underlining theme is to let love in and learn to let things go.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that an issue for you? I'm about to get into your business.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's an issue for me.
Of course not.
Of course not. But if it was an issue for me, but yeah, that was the thing. It's like a lot of times when you learning to get to know someone and things of that nature, we really never necessarily put our best foot forward on a lot of things. We always want to just keep certain things hidden. Or
what
just,
do you mean by that?
Well, you know, you never really. It's like when you meet somebody, you don't get the full representation of them until maybe what, 2-3 months in or whatever the case may be. And with this and with this character, he is so used to just getting things instantaneously without putting in any effort per se. But when he has to actually put in some effort and he lets his guard down to let this young lady into his life for a good reason, it kind of shocks him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not knowing that he's able to do this. But then he also resorts back to a lot of his old doggish ways, if you want to say.
Did you do any research? Did you have any conversation, even though you were doing this from telling this story from a man's perspective? Did you talk to any women about their perspective on how men show up mm-hmm. in dating and relationships?
Yeah, all the women that I dated who, you know, told me to get out their face. I mean, it's a lesson learned, man. I'm telling you, I learned a lot through just trial and error when it came to dating. And, you know, of course, I have a lot of, you know, female friends who I sit and I talk to, and I kind of get their perspective on things. And they're not shy. They let me know, like, look, you know, don't waste women's time. Don't be this. Don't be that.
Well, tell me what the this and that is.
Well, this is like, you know, don't waste anyone's time. Be present. Say what you mean what you say, and put in effort. You know, we don't put in a lot of effort, I think, a lot of times when it comes to building a relationship. And there's so many different things that can, you know, that you can blame based off of that, whether it be social media, whether it be outside influences, whatever the case may be. But if you're really into somebody and you want to get to know that person, spend that time with that person. Let things kind of grow and see what happens from there, rather than just like, okay, I met you on a Tuesday. How fast can I get with you on a Friday? You know, because mm-hmm. that's not going to work.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the new novel, Last Request, by WHUR's own Ulysses Stretch Garrett. This is a love story, and we're talking about some of the issues behind the story in Last Request. If you have a question, a comment, or an issue with any of the things that we're saying, or I should say, if you have an issue with anything that Stretch is saying.
Oh, wait a minute.
Definitely give us a call again at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. One of the things that I think is really fascinating based on what you're saying is that now in 2019, do you find that roles are often reversed when you're talking about how men and women react?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. And not in all cases now, but there's a lot of situations where I would totally agree that the roles have reversed, because you got to remember, like, especially where we live in the DMV, and especially in the DC area, it is so many of us. You know,
we're us meaning
men.
Okay.
And there's a lot of women. But also we're you got to think at it from the standpoint of a lot of people always looking for the next best thing. And, you know, we're like a commodity. That's how I look at it, as a commodity, in the sense that if from a role reversal, it's always the same, like the men are supposed to be the one who are supposed to hunt, in a sense of we're supposed to seek the women out. But now it's just like women are just flipping it, and they're the ones that are seeking us out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a problem?
Not to me, it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Fine, me.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave you alone. I'm going to leave you right here at the radio station by yourself. You may have to call the cops. But I would think that, you know, for some guys that may be a problem, particularly for those who may see things in a more traditional vein where they may want to be the pursuer.
Right.
And when you do have women that are confident and assertive, mm-hmm. some of them may not know how to handle that.
Yeah, that is true. It's a lot.
Some of the men may not know how to handle that.
But I mean, times change, and you know, we all go through different phases and things of that nature, as far as especially when relationships occur and getting to know someone. Just if you're not accustomed to being the person who is being chased rather than the chaser, you know, again, let your guard down a little bit. Mm-hmm. It might be a good experience, a new experience for you. And it actually might benefit you in the long run.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Last Request, a new novel by Stretch, WHUR's own DJ and radio personality. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, so when you were talking about opening, you know, kind of opening up, even when there's so much information, and I think that the men to a certain extent may be more receptive to sharing connections, emotions with women. Do you find that some of them are still struggling with that?
Yeah.
Why is that?
That it's the V word, man. Being, you know, vulnerability. A lot of men, we don't like to.
I thought you were going to say virgin, but.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a virgin.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? If you are, hey, kudos to you. But, being vulnerable, we tend to always want to regress and hold things in a lot of times. And if you're not able to just like let yourself go and let the person in, now, I'm not saying let all your business out in one sitting, but, you know, it's a gradual process. But in order for, you know, someone to get to know you, you got to let yourself be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The character in the book, Mason Blake, is that one of the issues that he is having? Is he having difficulty being vulnerable?
Yeah, that is his main problem. And the fact is he is unable to be vulnerable. He is one of those individuals where letting himself open or leaving himself open for interpretation from other folks is one of his, like, I guess it's his one of his scariest things that could ever happen to him, because being a radio personality, he has set this sort of persona and sort of identity that he uses on the air, and he's assuming that, you know, how can I say it? This is one of the things I used to struggle with too back in the day. It was like, okay, am I Stretch or am I Ulysses? And that's where he gets caught up in this radio persona rather than his regular self, not realizing that the two are the same.
I was about to say, so what's the difference?
But to him, he is like, okay, I'm giving you this sort of, you know, theater of the mind aspect of this personality that I created for this love show. But outside of it, I'm completely different, you know, but he doesn't get that it's the same thing. He's the same person. So that's his biggest draw, mm-hmm. as far as his hang up is concerned. But being vulnerable is the main thing. He's not the type of person that will tell his family secrets and things of that nature to whomever the young lady is that he's, you know, pursuing that evening.
And that, I would argue that probably definitely is problematic, because if you can't be vulnerable, then the question may be, why is this character, or men more broadly, why are they pursuing this person other than just to get some?
Right.
S-U-M.
Yeah.
yeah, that's my mother. She used to say that. outside of that, if they do want more, if they do want her, mm-hmm. how do you get her, the all of her, without giving the all of you?
Right. Yeah, I think it's from a male's point where, you know, a lot of times when we put ourselves in situations where, you know, you let your guard down, then you're in a point where, okay, now it's time for me. I can see that I'm able to be vulnerable. I'm able to have conversations that eclipse more than just your regular, hey, how you doing? What's your day like? Do you want to go out on Tuesday? No, you want to get into some in-depth conversations, and you want to be able to articulate your thoughts and things of that nature that come from, that's deep to you. And that's what this what this character is all about. Like Mason, you watch and you see as he grows through the book, in the sense of he lets a lot of the past, because he has a lot of past pain that you'll read about in the book that leads to putting him in a position where he's at, where he kind of just is like, okay, I'm all for me. Anything else that comes along with it, that's fine. But if it doesn't, I'm all right.
Need to take a break, but when we come back, more of the conversation with WHUR's own Stretch and his new novel, Last Request. I want to hear from you, especially ladies, if possible. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll be back in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking to a member of our family. We're talking to Ulysses Stretch Garrett. He is a DJ and personality here at WHUR. He has actually written a novel. Last Requested is a love story from a man's perspective. And we want to hear from you about being perhaps vulnerable and a man's position as it relates to dealing with love situations, even if it's from the mouth of a woman.
I'll take that.
You'll take that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Did you learn anything about yourself in writing this book?
Oh, man, a lot. It was a lot of just like experiences that I kind of put under a rock, more or less, throughout the years, especially in my younger years, in my 20s and my 30s, that I just like wanted to just totally forget. But with writing this book, it kind of opened back up those, I wouldn't necessarily say wounds, but opened that up to, for me to kind of like reevaluate certain situations, certain relationships, things of that nature that I totally messed up on, man. Oh yeah, man. Come on now. I totally messed up on. And I was able to just kind of look at it from the perspective of the young lady that I was dating or the young ladies that I was dating at that time in order to kind of get a feel of how they felt. Cause at that point, younger me was just like, whatever, you know, on to the next. But then you have to look at it from their perspective on how you hurt them or what caused the dissension between the two of us, you know, at that particular time. So I definitely learned a lot, and it helped me, you know, it definitely helped me.
But let's be honest, though, we can't always necessarily hold women harmless when it comes to the contribution that they make to the demise of a relationship, mm-hmm. drama, difficulty in the relationship. Is there something about that, or is the character, the female character or characters, are they pristine?
No, they're not pristine. Yeah, not at all. You know, definitely it's a two-way street when it comes to a lot of these things. But for me personally, I kind of looked at it from the standpoint of, I want to remove, you know, me from the situation, in the sense of, I want to look at it from, how is it that this woman was hurt by me? You know, now don't get me wrong, a lot of these relationships, it was, again, they did their thing, I did my thing, but for the majority of, it was a lot of me, mm-hmm, more than them, you know. But in this book, the female characters in this book, well, I'll say there is one that is definitely not pristine, mm-hmm, and, you know, and she's a, as they say, she's a vixen, she's out to get hers. But there's, you know, the one that's in the, you know, the main character in the book, she's an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in order for this man to see her, you know. So
how would you say that, and I hear this from women a lot, when a man is ready to settle down or even get married, he knows it and he does it.
Right.
What is the it that you think that men may feel when they're ready to do that? Is it just one thing? Is it a spark? Is it something that may happen over a period of time? What's your opinion about that?
I think it may be all of those things kind of intertwine as one. If you think about it, like, I think a lot of times when it comes to a man who's ready to fully commit to a relationship for marriage and family, I think it's the thought of not spending another day with this particular person that's by his side, you know.
Or without.
Without. So that moment where he can just envision, or that moment where he sees himself totally alone, or that particular person is no longer there, that's like, oh, it's time for me to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, that along with the other three things that you said kind of like all encompasses when a man is ready. Mm-hmm. Now, am I ready? I don't know.
Well, there it is. There's not a yes or a no.
Right.
You don't know. Why don't you know?
That's a good question, Harold. That's the question my therapist asked me.
Are you talking about your parents?
You're right.
Can we get some grandchildren up in here?
Oh, man. I think, I trust me, I know that I'm ready to be in a relationship, a good, committed relationship. Now, marriage, I'm not, I like that idea. Do I want it right now? No. But I would like to get to the point where I can say, all right, I can see myself being with so-and-so forever. But I think it's just a lot of times it deals with growth of the individual. You know, the route, like I know a lot of my friends did back in the day, getting married in their 20s and 30s and having kids. And, yay, that's great. But then you look at them, some of them are now divorced and, you know, mad and angry and things like that.
Jeez, mad and angry.
Mad and angry.
Now, what about, from your perspective, women? And this isn't just, you know, based on, you know, what you put in the book. But like you said, there was a point when you were doing a love show. Has there been an evolution as it relates to how perhaps women of a certain age, 40s, here in the DMV, and how they look at happily ever after or not ever after?
A lot of the women that I've encountered, you know, in this age of 40 plus, some of them could care less about happily ever after.
Because, and some of them have done the happily ever after until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't, yeah. Exactly. So, and some of them still have that thought and that want of being in that position of being in happily ever after. But a lot of them are, you know, they're self-motivated, they're super educated, they're just strong-willed, and they're about their business, that they're like, I can do without all that. As long as I know that my career is straight, everything else will come when it needs to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've met a few of them along the way.
Yeah, and you know, and in their defense, you know, you can, a career is probably the best thing to keep you warm at night when you're curling up. You know, you're
in my book.
Yeah, right. There you go. And it's, you know, you got what, 250 some odd pages, yeah. But you know, it's little, you know, you can't put your head on that book. You know,
hey, that you can't.
Yeah, and so, but I say that tongue in cheek, but I think that when you're talking about vulnerability, I think vulnerability goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have women who have achieved, you know, God bless them,
mm-hmm.
because you've got to eat.
Right.
You have to keep a roof over your head, particularly if you don't have a mate to help you do that.
Right.
But when all is said and done, and I think this kind of goes back to the issue of being vulnerable, all of the, who are you naked? And when I say naked, it's not about whether you don't have clothes on.
Right.
But who are you beyond the, you know, the degree, the big house in Woodmore, the, you know, the sorority, your multiple, you know, degrees and your opinions about the president.
Right. Yeah. Well, those accolades are all good, you know, like you said. But when you strip yourself down and take all that away, like you said, who are you? And I think a lot of times we as individuals, whether men or female, we struggle to identify with who we are minus all of the scrupulous sort of intangibles that make us who we are, you know. That's a great question, man.
The other thing too, and having not had a chance to really peruse the book, I can assume that, you know, these are professionals here.
Correct. Yeah.
And when you're talking about people again who have done certain things, what do you think about this question? Because and I'm sure you and I hear women talk about this all the time, that women often say that men are intimidated by them. Oh, there it is. Yeah. So that is why I ask, as I'm looking at your Facebook Live, that's one of the reasons why I ask this question. What is your opinion? I mean, I have my own.
Right.
But what is your opinion about that? Because often those things force men and women to butt heads, to ghost, to do all of those rude things. What do you think? What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, I find it to be quite, you know, to me, it's laughable in the sense that some women who assume that men are intimidated by them, but by what? Because you may have a master's degree, you may have your doctorate, you may make more money than said man, or whatever the case may be. But none of that matters, you know. At the end of the day, you know, and that's what they. I think some women use that as their weapon of choice.
Why do you say that?
To break certain men. You have, it reminds me of the episode of Martin. When Martin and Gina, when Martin found out that Gina made more money than him, it broke him in the sense that he was like, oh, this can't be. I'm supposed to be the man. I'm supposed to be the breadwinner. I'm supposed to be the provider for my lady. But here it is. She makes more money than me. And all his boys knew and everybody else knew. And they kind of joked him about it. But at the end of the day, I think none of that matters. If you're in a good relationship with a person and you both have a lot of love for one another and everything is copacetic in that relationship, who cares who makes the most money? Or who cares if, you know, your man's a plumber and you're a doctor? None of that matters.
And I think also often we hear about that intimidation factor happening early in the beginning. And, you know, I certainly have my own thoughts about
But you know, and it's funny because I remember I was talking to a friend of mine a while back, and he had said, told me that he had went out with this young lady who, you know, of course was just phenomenal. She was a phenomenal scholar and she was doing wonderful things in her career. And it was on their first date. And he was like, okay, you know, I went and I'm going to pay. And she's like, no, no, I got it. He was like, no, I got it. I asked you out. Let me take care of this and leave it at that. But then she made a big huff about it. Like, I got this. I don't need you to pay for do-do-do. He was like, man, after that particular, you know, just that one encounter, he's like, I don't want to deal with that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And see, I think that is the point when you often hear women say, excuse me, you hear women say that, you know, men are intimidated by them. My argument is the opposite. They're not intimidated by you. They just don't like you.
True, indeed.
Yeah, and it's not that you're a horrible person, mm-hmm. but I do mean that they don't like you. And in the example that you just used, had that been me, I probably would have said something to the effect of, you get next time.
Mm-hmm.
And that could quash that,
right?
Perhaps. But it could be anything. It could be something big. It could be something small. It could be he's not intimidated, but the reason that he's stopped calling is because you have too many dishes in the sink. Yeah. Or you have your house is so spotless that he may think that you're a little anal retentive,
mm-hmm.
or that you have cats and he's allergic, or right. he doesn't like your style of clothes, or that you curse too much, or you don't curse at all. I mean, it really could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything, and it could be the smallest thing. But, you know, it's funny, too, because I remember I had this conversation with my sister a while ago, and she kind of got on to me because I used to be that guy like that would find just any sort of way to ghost somebody from the smallest thing.
Ghosting is not good.
She's like, no one's perfect, man. And I get it. No one is perfect. We all have our flaws to us. But it's just a matter of what you're willing to deal with throughout that process.
Well, we're going to deal with this commercial break. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to finish our conversation with WHUR's own Stretch, talking about love, relationships, romance, and radio. The book is called Last Request. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with WHUR's own Stretch, talking about his new novel, his first novel called Last Request. It is a romance novel, and is this a steamy one? Is this a clutch the pearls?
Yeah, I told my mom, I was like, when you read this book, you know, don't think of me any differently. You know what I mean? I'm a grown man now. So, you know, we have to be descriptive when we set the scenes when it comes to the literary world.
And
so.
How many side eyes did your mother give you? Yeah. Hey, but after she reads it, tell her to give it to her girlfriends.
Yeah, no doubt.
Definitely give it to your girlfriends. Was this therapeutic for you to write?
Yes, it was. It was very much therapeutic, man, because I had to really just kind of just think back to a lot of past relationships that I necessarily didn't put my best foot forward in. And, you know, the hard part, really, I'll be honest with you, Harold, is like when you think back and you go back and you just look at past relationships of individuals that you may have dated or things of that nature, and you know, I messed it up or something just went awry. And then you get that notification on your social media. So-and-so just got married. So-and-so just had a baby. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, I used to be with so-and-so.
Oh, wow.
You know, but, you know, that kind of hurts the ego a tad bit. But then you also have to look at it from the perspective of it maybe just it just wasn't meant to be, mm-hmm. you know. So I had to kind of reevaluate a lot of stuff and kind of just like figure myself out in the sense of, okay, so if I'm going through A, B, C, and D and nothing's happening, and they go through their thing with whomever's next, and it's all peaches and cream. What the hell is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. So I felt like I was like the setup man. Like I was Gary Payton running the fast break, and I'm throwing the alley-oop to Sean Kemp. You know,
so you fix them for the next.
I'm setting them up for the next man.
Man. Don't believe that.
I know. Oh man, no, trust me. It was something that used to eat at me a lot for a while, but then I had to realize, you know, that's not the case. You know, every there's somebody out there for everybody, and it's just a matter of who, when we meet them, are we able to keep our eyes open and be able to appreciate that person for who they are when they're in front of you, rather than, you know, screwing things up and then realizing it 6-7 months later they're already moved on, and then you're still stuck in the past.
Talk to me a little bit about the book craft itself. Mm-hmm. Not the characters or so much the emotional part, but about the writing process for you. Because for just like when I wrote my novel, I had to figure out mm-hmm. when to write, how to write, when I was moved to right. What was that like for you?
It was difficult in a sense, because like I said, it took me 13 years to write this book. And I started this book when I was taking a creative writing class at UCLA, to be honest with you. And I was like, oh, I got something on my mind. Let me just start writing it. And going through the process, because I never wrote a book before, written a few screenplays, but like formatting and things of that nature, I knew nothing about. I had to research how to format the book. And then that's when I started to start penning it. But I found that a lot of my good stuff, or the energy, I should say, came to me at night. I'm nocturnal in the sense that it'll be 2-3 o'clock in the morning and I'm writing. Throw on some slow jams to set mm-hmm. the mood, because I learned a lesson from one of my mentors a long time ago when he was writing his plays. He said, I always put on a soundtrack because that helps set the scene. And so that's how I was able to cultivate and put this thing together, which ultimately I created a playlist that goes with the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sets the scene for the listener, for the reader, that can know, okay, I know where he was going when he wrote this based off of this song.
Exactly. Yeah. And just like I have an iTunes playlist, there are 80 songs.
Mm-hmm.
on it, and I just call it writing music.
Right.
You just kind of put it in, and you do kind of get yourself in a zone, just like athletes are in a zone when they are at their best levels of performance. And I would argue that it is the same way for writers. What do you want people to take away from this story?
I want people to take away from this story the simple fact that it's all right to be vulnerable. It's all right to open up, and it's all right to let love in. Don't be afraid, because mm-hmm. you never know. You might be missing out on the next best thing that could ever happen to you.
This is the first novel. Are you already looking at another project, another novel?
I am. But this novel is taking the toll on me, brother.
Yes.
You know, being a self-publisher, still, you know, working my job and then, you know, working here and then trying to get out here and promote this book, it's taxing, but it's worth it. And I do have another book, and I have about 3 or 4 in my head, and I'll start working on the second one in next year.
Can we get a hint?
It's a little...
I mean, you don't kill off Mason or anything.
Nah. What this story is done. I don't think I'm a follower. This story is done. This one is good. I have a sort of a little thriller that I'm a little romance thriller that I really want to get out. And yeah, that's going to be the next book.
Do you have a way that people can follow you either on social media or on online if they are interested in the book that maybe has also your dates, appearances, anything like that?
I'm so glad you asked, brother. Of course. You can hit me up on social media. First and foremost, you can go to the website, which is lastrequestnovel.com. I don't think we need to do the www. They know all that.
Yeah.
So lastrequestnovel.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at @StretchG, or you can follow me on Instagram at Dope since 76 Media.
Okay, and all of your connections, as well as this conversation, will be posted on our website on WHUR.com, including the podcast. Well, Stretch, congratulations.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thanks for talking to us. Looking forward to hearing more about the book down the road, as well as the movie. And
yeah. I'm gonna play you in the movie.
Yeah, I'm right. Well, you know, you want good sales. So, congratulations, Stretch.
And, thank you.
All the best to you, man.
Thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 18th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet me using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.